محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، tonight inshallah we're going to talk about an important subject, which is the النار عذاب الله عز وجل سبحانه وتعالى, the hell fire, which is the punishment of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And Allah سبحانه وتعالى in the Quran الكريم, إخوان, all of the miracles of the prophets before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was temporary miracles. Musa, Isa, Hud, Saleh, Nuh, kulluhum, or all of their miracles were temporary miracles. Miracles that happened on their time only. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the living miracle, the miracle which is the Quran al-Kareem, the Quran that we can read and we can recite and we can tell and we can just look at the miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran al-Kareem. Let's tonight dig into the teachers of the Quran al-Kareem to see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran about the hell fire and the punishment. And always in the Quran al-Kareem you see that Allah always, when He talks about the hell or He talks about the heaven, He always talks about the hell. You cannot find rarely an ayah that talks about the heaven not followed by talking about the hell fire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His forgiveness and mercy in the Quran al-Kareem is always associated with the punishment for those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نَبِّئْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. Muhammad told them that I'm the most forgiving, I'm the most merciful, and my punishment is the severe one. And always in the Quran al-Kareem, Allah talks about heaven, then He talks about hell. So let's see what is the Quran saying about the hellfire. Let's start with the Surah Al-An'am. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran al-Kareem, Surah Al-An'am, the ayah, verse number 27, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ وَلَا نُكَذِّبُ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. بل بدا لهم ما كانوا يخفون من قبل ولو ردوا لعادوا لما نهوا عنه وإنهم لكاذبون. صدق الله العظيم. In this two ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes a scene in the hereafter, in the judgment day. And He is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ. If you could witness Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the scene of those disbelievers when they being stubbed or when they being held before the hellfire. This is the scene, this is the hellfire, and those are the disbelievers, and the believers are being held in front of the hellfire or before the hellfire. Then they said at that moment, فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ وَلَا نُكَذِّبَ بِآيَاتُ رَبِّنَا وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They hoped and they wished three things. The first thing is to get back to dunya, to return back to the earthly life again, and not to disbelieve in the revelations of their Lord, in the ayahs being revealed to them in this dunya. What makes those disbelievers do not believe in the Quran? Nothing at all. You cannot find no mistake, nobody at all. Since the history, since Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam contradict any verse in the Quran al-Kareem or bring something, one ayah from the equal to the glory of the Quran al-Kareem. And the third one, and we will be among the believers. Those disbelievers, the scene, disbelievers fell in front of them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
if you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could witness the scene when they've been held in front of the hellfire or before the hellfire, then they would say that time, we hope or we wish we could get back to dunya, to life. And we would believe if we get back in the revelations of our Lord, and we will be among the believers. بَلْ بَدَى لَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُبْدُونَ مَا كَانُوا يُخْفُونَ مِنْ قَبْلُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered that, and he said, it will be shown to them what they used to hide in dunya. What did disbelievers hide in dunya? The faith, brothers, the iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because every human being is born in the fitrah, in the nature which is knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the parents change them into Christians or Jews by, you know, stereotyping them, by brainwashing them through ideology, 3 in 1 and 1 3, don't think about it, go to the church every Sunday, your Lord is 3, your Lord is Jesus. They feed them through their lives. Then they grow up with that seed, with that, you know, stuff that they've been told, or they've been told. But in their hearts, if they leave them as they've been born, they will be guided to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But since they've been contradictory, completely, you know, corrupted from the straight path, then they become. And this will be shown to them in the hereafter. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the hellfire. You used to disbelieve in it. This is the heaven. This is the angels. You've been tied and walking in your face, you disbelievers. Then whatever they used to think about in dunya and deny it completely, it will be shown the truth in front of their eyes. No more. No more believe over there, because you'll see the truth. You'll see nothing but what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala complete the ayah by saying, وَلَوْ رُدُّ لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. And if we return them back to dunya, they will do what we have forbidden them to do. And they are liars. They're just saying that. وَلَوْ رُدُّ لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, he described the hellfire in the Quran. Complete description. There is no faith, there is no religion that talks in details about the hellfire. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed it to the disbelievers in the hereafter, then I said, oh Allah, we thought that the hellfire is like you walk on your hands, or you may throw, you know, a little bit of little heat, or 70 degrees Fahrenheit heat, or this or that. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exemplifies and explains all of what's in the hellfire. He exemplified and explained what it looks like. What is the color of the hellfire? How deep the hellfire is, the depths of the hellfire. You know, the people of the hellfire, the description of those people in the hellfire, the kind of punishment they will have in the hellfire. You know, all the full description, we're going to go through the Quran and the Sunnah quickly, inshallah, to see you, to tell you about the hellfire. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, he could say us, tell us the hellfire, but there is no example, there is no hellfire on earth, then we don't know anything about it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, أَوَرَأَيْتُمُ النَّارَ الَّتِي تُورُونَ فأنتم أنشأتم شجرتها أم نحن المنشئون إنا جعلناها تذكرة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, you see the fire, you start, you fire, you know, you go and put some wood and start a fire. You start a fire. Did you originate the wood you use for that fire? We have done that. We created that wood you started the fire with. And we make that fire as what? A remembrance. You get an example in life. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu arda used to put his hand closer to the lamp, you know, the oil lamp, and he put his hand closer to it. It starts burning him. And he said, you Umar, obey Allah. If you have patience on that, then dissipate.
Umar radiallahu anhu, he's putting his finger towards the fire. This is the fire of the dunya. You know, we're going to describe right now how severe the fire of the hereafter, the hell fire. But he just get his hand closed and said, you have no patience in this fire, just a little lamb coming, a little thing. How are you going to be patient in the hereafter? And he cries, radiallahu anhu, and stay all night long praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ دِنَ اللَّهِ Give us an example in life. You want to know what is the hellfire? Go and start the fire, put some wood and put a little bit of gas in it and start it and put your finger. Just not inside the fire, just closer to the fire. And Rasulullah, this is the fire of the dunya, by the way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, sahih, the authentic hadith, إِنَّ نَارَكُمُ الَّتِي تُرُونَ لجزء من سبعين جزءا من نار جهنم. The fire you started in dunya, this fire of dunya is one part of 70 parts of the fire of the hereafter, the hell fire. Then the Sahaba of Allah said, the companions of Rasulullah said, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَافِيَةً. You know, if it's equal to the fire of dunya, it is enough for you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, no, it has been raised each part 99 degrees higher than the fire of dunya. So 70 part higher, and then each part is 99. So multiply and tell me that equation. How severe the hellfire compared to the fire of dunya. Something unimaginable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describe, what is the color of the hellfire? What is it? Is it what? Is it a room? Is it a jail? Is it a bathroom? What is it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, أُوْقِدَ عَلَى النَّارِ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ حَتَّ أَحْمَرَّتْ ثُمَّ أُوْقِدَ عَلَيْهَا أَلْفًا حَتَّ بِيَضَّتْ ثُمَّ أُوْقِدَ عَلَيْهَا أَلْفًا حَتَّ سُوَدَّتْ فَهِيَ سَوْدَاءُ كَالْلَيْلُ الْبَهِيمِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the hellfire been heated up for 1,000 years until it got red and become red in color. And then it's been heated up one more 1,000 years and it becomes white in color. And then it's been heated 1,000 years. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Until it becomes dark, black. It's the same like the night without the moon. كَالْلَيْلُ الْبَهِيمِ. You cannot see. You see, you want to imagine that, brothers? One time, just, you got a room, and you turn the light off, and you got the shades and everything off at night, and wake up, and open your eyes. Since it's so very, very, very dark, you don't know, you don't know the directions. You don't know right from left, the back of the room, the front of the room, where is the bathroom, you cannot detect at all. And this is no light at all. Dark, dark, severely dark, no light completely at all. So this is the color of the hellfire. So we talked about the third one is the severity of the heat, we said. Each is the hellfire, the fire in dunya, part of 70 parts of the hellfire, and each part of this is 99 higher than the fire of the dunya. And then we talked about the color, then we talk about the width, I mean the depth of the hellfire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his companions and he heard a wujba, that means he heard a noise. And then he asked the companions, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا هَذَا? Do you know what is that? Then the companions replied, اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger are knowledgeable of that. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هَذَا حَجَرْ أُلْقِيَا فِي جَهَنَّمْ مُنْذُ سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا يَهْوِي فِي قَعْرِهَا الْآنِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, this is a rock that being thrown 70 years ago into the hellfire and it's reaching the bottom of the hellfire right now. 70 years ago, brothers.
You throw something flying down in the hellfire 70 years ago. And this is the authentic hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَيْلٌ وَادٍ فِي جَهَنَّمْ يَحْوِي فِيهِ الْكَافِرُ 40 خَرِيفًا حَتَّى يَصِلُ قَعْرًا. You know, as Muslims, when we behave the way we behave, and we do stuff in this life, we either, two things, either we do not believe in the hellfire, the first one, or we don't know what is the hellfire. You know, subhanAllah, when you do this and you do that, you know, and what is it? Do we do not believe in it? We don't believe there is a hellfire in the hereafter, we don't believe in the judgment day, or we do not know what is the hellfire. Is that we can't, something unimaginable. So this, brothers, is the depth of the hellfire. How about the face of the hellfire? Or of the walls of the hellfire? Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا, in Surah Al-Kahf, إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. We have prepared for the wrongdoers, or for the oppressors. When we prepare the hellfire that's been surrounded with the fence, or with the wall, which is the fence or the wall of the hellfire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, لَسُرَادِقُ النَّارِ أَرْبَحَةُ جِدُرُ. The fence of the hellfire is 4 walls. You know? سُمْكُ الْجِدَارِ مَسِيرَةُ أَرْبَحِينَ عَامًا. The thickness of each wall is 40 years walking. So you walk in that wall in order to cut the width of it, 40 years walking. You know, four walls, one after the other, and each one of them is 40 years walking. This is the thickness of it. Yeah, the people of the hell, they cannot walk it, but we just, in order for you to imagine how big, how wide the wall, and these are 4 walls of the hellfire, around the hellfire, where are you going to go? And there's no way. SubhanAllah, when the ayah said, Allah revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah, عَلَيْهَا تِسْعَةَ عَشَرَ. He was describing the hellfire and he said that it has 19 angels. Then Abu Jahl, la'anatullahi alayhi, he said, you people of Mecca, I'm going to take care of 17 of the angels. I'm going to beat them up. And you beat up the two and we run away from the hell and go to heaven. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they laughed at him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since that day he summoned Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl means the father of ignorance. You know, something severely humiliated. His name was not Abu Jahl. But from his stupidity and ignorance, he said that he's going to fight 19 angels in the hereafter, and the people of Quraysh, the disbelievers, you know, the five that killed the two other ones, then they ran away and they get out of the hellfire and they go to heaven, you know. So don't worry about the hell that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us of. Ikhwani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem said, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ. Surah Al-Haqqa, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ. You see, this is an order from Allah. Take him and tie him. You know, ghul means they put the hands behind the neck and tie them and put the feet and the hands together with the neck. This is how the disbelievers will be tied. And when Allah ordered khudu, take him, then 70, Rasulullah s.a.w. said, 70,000 angels stand up to start the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do the order, to follow the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know the description of the angels. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one of those angels, he is capable of carrying 70,000 humans in one hand. Something unbelievable. You know, something you cannot. This is Allah, brother, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about yourself. You see how great Allah and how knowledgeable Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you and me from dust, from the ground, big stuff. But imagine If you look at the human beings, how the nerves and how the conductivity in the nerve and how the blood vessels and the whole body is like a net of capillaries and blood vessels anywhere, blood could go anywhere. How this small tiny cells is capable of fighting diseases, how the movements in your body, how the movements of your spine, how the most efficient machine on earth is the human being. Because this is the creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, you know, physical therapy, when somebody's hand got cut off, that's it. They cannot. The only two movements that they allow for him is to open and close his hands and move his hands sideways. But these tiny little things, never ever, technology and whatever technology, never ever be able to do these things, to do that movement, just that movement. This is, brother, this each human being got a fingerprint different. No two people have the same fingerprints. To let you know how creative Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Creator. And He's capable of creating creatures that's very, very powerful. More powerful than us. One angel of the angels of the hell carried 70,000 humans in his hand fist, throw them in the hellfire. And those, and Abu Jahl is going to find 19 of, or 17 of those. See? SubhanAllah, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ فَاللُّوهُ. And you get him and burn him in the hellfire. Okay, then we talked about the color of the hellfire, the depth of the hellfire, the severity of the heat in the hellfire, the things of the hellfire. Then right now we talk about the degrees of the hellfire. You know, the hellfire is 7 degrees, one underneath the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ لِكُلِّ بَابٍ مِّنْهُمْ جُزْءٌ مَقْسُومٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing in the Quran the hellfire. إِنَّ جَهَنَّمْ, the hellfire is the final destination. God is talking about the disbelievers. It's the final destination for them. And it has 7 doors. For each door, there is a divided part of them. Get into it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran named all of them, starting with Jahannam. And you see, brothers, you know, maybe some people are going to exclude themselves since you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the judgment day. But even you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the judgment day, Allah told you in the Quran al-Kareem, يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. You who believe in Allah, you believers, this is a private, this is a special call for the believers, not for all mankind. قوا أنفسكم, guard, protect yourself and your family from the hellfire, from a fire. وقودها الناس والحجارة, the soul of it is humans and rocks. So even we're believers, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe in the judgment day, and we pray 5 times, then Allah calling in us and saying, you who believe in Allah, protect, guard yourself and your family from the hellfire. So we're not excluded. Because as we said before, you do a sin, then a dark dot will be in your heart. You do another sin, another dark dot in your heart. Third sin, another dark dot, until your heart gets black. Dark heart cannot recognize the good from the bad. And you're calling yourself, a lot of people calling themselves, you know, they're praying, and you know, they don't mind slaughtering human beings, especially what they call themselves the leaders now. You know, they memorize some of the Quran, they believe in Allah, believe in the judgment day. No, but you see, you need to, everything in this life, you will be judged. Allah will ask you. And the problem is that you cannot lie. How, you know, maybe if a judge or somebody asks you, you got tricks, you know how to twist words, you know, but you're in front of Allah.
in front of Subhanallah, He created you. He created this brain that answered His questions. He's created this miracle of that the scientists, they don't know nothing about the brain. Where is the memory at? How's the information? How's the colors? How's the taste is being stored in the brain? Secrets. Everything is secrets. Interrogation mark. How it happened? Interrogation mark. And we're in the 20th century. They know everything. So back to our subject. The knock. The hellfire. So seven, one of them, the first one, brother, is Jahannam. And this is for the believers that disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ones that disobeyed in dunya, they die on big or great sins. But they still have the tawheed. Tawheed is this is the guarantee of heaven. Even if you get punished in the hellfire, inshallah, if you do not scratch your tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your final destination is heaven. But when we're talking about hell, we're going to describe a little bit about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a heat that much. He's not going to put the regular human being like me and you, small, and put them there. We'll evaporate immediately. There's no, you know. No, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the disbelievers or the residents of hellfire, Allah will magnify their bodies. They'll be great. They'll be big. Because as the service area begin getting great, as the punishment is getting worse, you know, and you can't stand the severe punishment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that the al-masafah bayna min kabayn al-kafir fi an-nar masirat thalathat ayyam. The distance between the two shoulders of the disbeliever in the hell, in the hellfire, you walk in it 3 days. You know, 3 days. You see, the Arabs back then, the brothers, the illiterate, you know, society, they don't know how to measure with a kilometer or miles or this and that. They measure the distances, how many days it takes to get there. Like, for example, from Mecca to go to Palestine, to go to Masjid al-Aqsa, it's 30 days one way. 30 days walking in the desert one way. So this is how they measure. All of the distances, you see, they measure it with the days. How many days it takes you to get there? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith also, the bottom, the butt of the disbeliever in the hellfire is the distance between Mecca and Medina, 240 kilometers. This is how the... And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said also, the dors, the teeth, one tooth of the disbeliever in the hellfire is equal the mountain of Uhud. Imagine you got 32 teeth there, 32 mountains of Uhud in there. When they get that bread, they can't stand that heat. You see how big, how miserable this disbeliever will be? The down lip will be underneath the people of the hellfire. Everybody's walking on it. And the upper lip will be covering. Anyway, you can't see anything. We said dark, dark, dark. Nothing dark. Hate that. Imagine, subhanAllah, when you see the volcanoes coming out of the... They get into the ocean, they evaporate, they take the water with them immediately, suddenly. No water anymore. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the brain, if you think about it, you cannot imagine that, because we don't have the ability, you know, to imagine what kind of severity, what kind of punishment is that in the hellfire. We get back to, so this is how big is going to be the disbeliever. You know, we don't want you to, you know, get upset, but this is what the Quran and what the Sunnah brothers talk about. And it's a Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remind people with the hellfire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we said, if we take a picture of him, they describe him Bassam al-Muhayya. That means he's got a smile in his face all the time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except when he talks about the hellfire. If he talks about the hellfire, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his voice starts getting loud. You know, his face starts getting red. And he starts, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sweating, just talking about the hellfire. And he's telling the ummah, اتَّقِ النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَ. Protect, guard yourself from the hellfire, even if by a half of a date. Do what you can in this dunya, because once you die, brothers, that's it. This is what we get from this dunya. What you get is what you take with you from good deeds, from, you know, freedom. But we're not those. This is for the disbelievers and the hypocrites. But the believers, the ones that they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no God worthy worship but Allah. Only the rules of Allah is in your family, in your house, when you leave, in your work, when you go back home, wherever you are from, it's obliged. When you come to the mosque, it's obliged. When you come to the neighbors, it's obliged. You just put, prioritize even what you love. You give it up for the love of Allah, for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. If your life is this way, then don't get scared from this. This is not for you. But if, you know, being a hypocrite, the hypocrite is more punishable than a disbeliever. See, the first one, Jahannam, is for the believers that they done big, great sins, and they die in that without asking repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're under the will of Allah. Either Allah forgives them and gets them into heaven, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes them for these deeds and gives them to the hellfire. The second one is lava. Is lava. The third one is we're going to tell you the third one. It's in the surah of وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٌ لُمَزَةٌ. And the fourth one is الجحيم. And the fifth one, the last one, is الهاوية. 7 degrees, one after that. The most severely punishable person is what? Is the one that is the hypocrite. He is إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. This is very, very important, brothers. Inshallah, we're going to make a lecture about hypocrisy. Hypocrite is not. There's two kinds of hypocrisy. There's a hypocrisy in faith, and there's a hypocrisy in deeds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, آيَةِ الْمُنَافِقِ ثَلَاثِ إِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفُ إِذَا أَتُ مِنَ خَانِ إِذَا عَاهَدَ غَدَرُ. You know, there are 3 signs of a hypocrite. But this hypocrite is not the hypocrite in faith. This is a hypocrite in deed. A hypocrite in deed is still a believer. But a hypocrite in faith is another story. This is the one that goes to the hellfire, to the bottom, the most severely punished, more than a disbeliever, is a hypocrite. The one that hates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hates his mighty messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he loves the victory of the disbelievers, and he hates the victory of the Muslims and the believers, and he's friendly with the disbelievers. What you see right now, you know, friendly and hugs and love disbelievers, and crushing the believers, calling them names, you know, an enemy for a believers. You know, this is very exemplified over there, you know. They love and welcome the disbelievers. But the believers, the ones that they follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prisons, jail, killing, shooting. So this, you know, hold those. Those, as they said, the scholar said, our countries, yani walillah alhamd, they are governed by a group of hypocrites. Hypocrites. Live whatever. You subhanAllah, when we're going to talk a little bit about the punishment in the hellfire, on the different kinds of punishments in the hellfire, if you live like a king, 1,000 years, not 100 years in dunya, or 70 or 60 years, you live like the most wonderful king, and you just stay 1 second, or 1 hour, or 1 minute in the hellfire, they live all of that life equal nothing. You will never enjoy nothing in this life. What leads them? Leads them the most knowledgeable records, this and that. But they got a big problem. They got a great problem with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hereafter, they know, as Allah describes them in the Quran, they know superficial knowledge of this life. And they are forgetting completely about the hereafter, about what they're going to do. Their mother nature, everything is correct. Volcanoes create life and volcanoes destroy life. Their life starts by volcanoes in this earth. Okay. And then when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this ayah will be perfect for them. بَلْ بَلَى لَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُخْفُونَ مِنْ قَبْلُ. They will show into them what they've been hiding in life. They knew it.
Abu Jahl knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah. Between his friends, they knew 100% he's a messenger. And they knew, those leaders that they fight, the believers, they knew that Islam is the right pathway. But they never follow that. Because that's their nature is disbelieving. Even if Rasulullah ﷺ came and showed them the signs right now, they will never follow. No messenger showed his people any signs and they believe. They just ask the sign or the miracle to make him, you know, unable to do the miracle. Then okay, I'm not going to believe. But if the miracle comes, they don't believe. You know. And let's get back to the severity or what kind of punishments. What is the food for those people in the hellfire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إن شجرة الزقوم طعام أثيم كالمهل يغلي في البطون كغلي الحميم. This is the description. This is the food, brothers. They're going to get hungry in the hellfire. What they're going to eat? There is a tree called شجرة الزقوم. This زقوم is a certain kind of tree that when it comes to your throat, it stops. When you start, they're very hungry. They want to eat something. Imagine you don't eat in dunya, and this guy is, his body is with 260 kilometers width. Why? When he eats, he needs to eat something. He eats that, and then it stops in his throat. Then he knows in dunya, if something stops, he need to get you some water. Then it moves it down. He said, وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُ يُغَاثُ بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِ الْوُجُوهِ. They ask, they knew in dunya that if something stops in your throat, then you ask water, then the water push it down, then okay. Then they ask, they cry for help, for getting some water, then they bring them water as hot as the molten brass. You know, brass, copper and zinc combined together and heated to degrees you cannot imagine. Once they draw them, the angels of punishment, draw these things to them, their face, get down. But they're going to die. They need to drink. That's it. This thing is in there. Then they drink it, and it pushes and it dissolves the intestines and the inside of them. And it becomes like himam. Himam, you know, when the volcano starts bulbing up, this is the himam. Something unbelievable. Something cannot be imagined. So this is the food of the people of the hellfire. Let him eat, you know, hardies and biscuits and this and that and talk about the belief. Let him he'll come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will ask him. And he will, the angels will feed him that, either he wants or not. And the people doesn't want to eat that because you got experience. This thing destroy you, and when you get water, وَلَهُمْ مَقَامِعُ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ. Oh, you don't eat, just please, would you mind to eat a napkin and this? No. You got hammers made of steel. You don't eat over your head. And dark, you don't know where you're going to get it from. Dark. Imagine that somebody just go, brothers, and put yourself in a dark room, and just stay for 30 minutes. You're going to get crazy, you know? Don't move and don't know which direction is it, and you're just getting start. And those, وَلَهُمْ مَقَامِعُ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe another food, you know, different kinds of food. الضريع. This is when the Rasulullah ﷺ was explaining to them, this is a plant that grows up in the desert. And it's formed of thorns. It cannot be eaten by humans. But the camels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it the inside of their mouth very well padded, so they crush these thorns and they swallow it. And this is one of the other food that they are going to be eating. And this food is miserable. It got a miserable, terrible taste of it. But they're going to be pushed to eat that. Either they want or not. How about the water? A drink for them. You know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُ يُغَاثُ بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِ الْوُجُوهِ. They want some water, you know? وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُ, they cry for help.
for water. Then they've been given the hot water as molten brass. To them, once it comes to the face, it will scale the face. Scale the face. That means the whole face will fall down from the heat of that water. But they need to drink. You know, and you can't, that's, you're very thirsty. You don't, and then they drink it. It dissolves and destroys the intestine. So this is a drink, brothers. And they have also another drink called ghislin. Ghislin, what is the ghislin when they ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is the juice coming out of the private parts of the adulterous people of the hellfire. He says, oh, you drink? Drink. And if you don't drink, there is a big, huge steel hammers on the heads. You know, something unbelievable. Those people, they live luxurious life, wonderful, great life. How they, subhanAllah, somebody let them know what is waiting for them. They refuse. And the most severe punishment of that is there is no sleep there. لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا. The scholars said about burden, they do not taste. Burden means sleep. They call sleep. ولا شراب, neither drink, except this hot drink. We don't call it drink. So there is no sleep. Imagine that somebody 24 hours, if you work 15 hours, then you go home, you fall asleep. You just watching TV or doing something, you fall asleep because you cannot. 24 hours, 48 hours, if you don't sleep, they get you to the hospital and give you some sedatives. You put you sleep right away, because you're going to get crazy if you don't sleep. Those, no sleep at all. You sleep with the hammers over the head. No sleep. Imagine that this only one punishment, no sleeping. It's something, you know, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes a lot in the hellfire. A lot. وَسُقُوا مَاءً صَدِيدًا. Two brothers, the bus of the that comes out of the wounds and it's being collected, big tanks, and put it in front of you. You see, here in life, if somebody put you a little cup of bus in front of you and ask you to drink it, he shoot you better than you just touch this. But no, we're there, punishment with the hammers over the head. And this part, they drink it. You know, something, if we keep talking about it, you know, you cannot even sleep. But as we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they refused. They fought. They fought the believers. And they called them all different kinds of stuff. And they knew the truth. But they don't want to admit the truth at all. Then it will be shown to them in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't think Allah says in the Quran and He puts the mercy and the forgiveness before the punishment. نَبِّحْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. Tell my servants, tell my slaves that I'm the most forgiving, the most merciful. But my punishment is the severe one. So Allah puts the forgiveness and the mercy before He talks about the punishment. Because they refuse. Allah said in the Quran, what's the meaning of it? If they have what's on earth and equal to it, to free themselves from the hellfire, from the punishment of the hellfire, it will never be accepted from them. But in dunya, just one word, one sentence could free them from that. We declare there is no worth, there is no God worthy for you but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the mighty messenger of Allah. See how simple? But in the hereafter, he's wealthy. He owns what's in earth and equal to it too. And he gave it to Allah to free himself from the hellfire. No, will never be accepted from him. So this is brothers, but alhamdulillah, you, Allah bless you by being a Muslim. Complete it, finish it. Do towards it. This is a severe punishment. We can't stand that. But the believer will be under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till the judgment day. The only thing that the believer is going to pass on the hellfire, just passing on the hellfire. The hellfire will ask him to hurry up because his light of faith and iman will put down the hellfire. You see you're immunized. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you follow the rules of Allah, that's why you're here in this life. This life, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it for you, is a prison for a believer, and it's a heaven. Yeah, look at what he's waiting for, what is waiting for him in the hereafter. And what is that going to say? Every nation will come into the hellfire, they will curse the other nation that comes after them. كلما دخلت أمة لعنت أختها. If any nation or one of the nations enters the hellfire, it will curse the nation that comes before it. حتى إذا داركوا فيها جميعا, until they got all in the hellfire. قالوا ربنا قالت أخراهم لأولاهم. The former ones, the later ones, said to the former ones, "You Allah, those misguided us. He told us this is the terrorists. Those are the bad, and we're followers. You Allah, give them double the punishment." Said Allah, "For both of you, double for you, double for you too." In the hereafter, they're going to be cursing each other. In the hereafter, this is how it's going to be in the hellfire. Wa la'azu billah. And one day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jahannam يأتي على جهنم يوم تخفق أبوابها. That means one day I will come for Jahannam, the first degree for the believers, where there is nobody, no residence in there. Because the believers, that they have tawheed, they've done sins, they're getting punished and they get out to heaven. They have tawheed, pure tawheed. And one day it will be empty. And at that day, you see the disbelievers when they get into hell, and the believers are there spending whatever time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they were doing kaba'ir, they were doing khamr, they were doing adultery, they were doing this and that. Then they told them, "Oh, look at you, you're the same. You prevent yourself from khanzir, you prevent yourself from pork, from doing this, from dancing, from clubs, but your final destination is the same. Worse than your hellfire." But after that, after the believers come out, Allah described that in the Quran, said, Alif Lam Mim, Tilka ayatul kitab wa Quran mubin, Rubama yawaddu alladhina kafaru law kanu muslimin. Alif Lam Mim, Tilka ayatul kitab. This is the revelation, this is the signs of the book. Rubama yawaddu, that day they wish the disbelievers that they were Muslims. That day when they see the believers, the one that they declare there is no God worthy for worship but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the mighty messenger of Allah, they wish the disbelievers that they would say that word. Because there is no hope. You know, in dunya, you got a problem, then you work hard and you got a hope ahead of you. Then you follow it, but there is no hope of those. And when they reach that limit, they ask, who's that guy, who's the angel that is in charge of the hell? They said, Malik. They call Malik. Ya Malik liyakdi alayna rabbuk. They don't ask to get out or something. They said, "You Malik, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to kill us, to die, make us die." They keep calling when Malik, 1,000 years. The answer will come after 1,000 years. Malik is answering, "Innakum ma'kifun." You'll stay. And you see, the angel, the Akhwan Malik, he never ever smiled since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him. At all, even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw him in the Isra and the Mi'raj, he never smiled to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Jibril ordered him and said, "This is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So, something we cannot, if we talk all night long about the hellfire, something cannot. There's no way that a human could stand that. And then they call, they said, "Okay, then Malik is not going to answer us. Said, you're saying, okay, we'll call the people of the Khazana, the people that directly related to us." Said, "Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to just decrease the punishment one day, just decrease it, not to take it off, just give us some." Your messengers came to you and told me about these things. Why did not follow? No answer at all. They get so pessimistic. No hope at all. No death. When the judgment day comes, the death will come in the form of a kibsh, in the form of
sheep and it will be slaughtered. And said, you people of heaven, eternity, no death. You people of hell, eternity, no death. Oh, the people of heaven, no death, that's it. You know, and that na'im and that life, great life, and the people of hell, they get so miserable, so terrible. And they're not going to be like that. The devil is going to harass them too. They're going to put a big member for the devil in the hellfire. Oh, the punishment will be from every direction. وَلَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ قَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ. When everything is settled down, people of heaven go to heaven, people of hell go to hell, the devil will show up. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ. He's doing a lecture for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised you the truthful one, the truthful promise. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ. And I promised you. فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. And I did not fulfill my promise. You see, even, you know, somebody, something happened to you, and then somebody, okay, everything is hiding, but no, it will be shown. The devil is going to make fun of you in the hereafter, because he misguided you, misguided them. Allah promised you the truthful promise, and I promised you, and I did not fulfill my promise. وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. You were dumb, you were stupid. I did not have no power in you. You see, the disbeliever or any believer, even when the devil will just give him ideology, go and do this haram. Thus, if you said no, this is going to slap you? No, he's not going to do nothing. He has no power in you at all. He's not going to come to you at night and beat you in the bed. No, nothing at all. He just give you, and he's saying the truth. ما كان لي عليكم من سلطان إلا دع إلا أن دعوتكم فاستجبتم لي. I don't have no power in you, but I ask you, I told you, you followed me, you know, but I didn't have no power in you. فلا تلوموني. Do not blame me. I'm not the cause of you being in hell. Look, he had them into hellfire, and them. Don't blame me. ولكن لوموا أنفسكم. Blame your own self. I don't have no power in you. You see, miserable things, one after the other. Not something. You know, subhanAllah, ikhwan, if somebody told you to live a king 1 billion years here in life and then end in the hellfire, and this kind of punishment, one after the other. No. And then after they get pessimistic, they just have shahiq and zafir, means in and out. No talks at all, and they start crying. And you see huge, big human beings, something, you know, until they make rivers into their faces, you know. I'm thinking the teeth is the mountain of Uhud. Imagine 32 teeth, and how big is the head, and how big is the extremities and stuff. And they cry until the tears are gone. Then they will cry blood. Something unbelievable. But subhanAllah, that doesn't make you, brother, just straighten yourself on the straight path. Just give it up. Give everything that haram away from you, and put that picture in your mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not put it in the Quran to just, oh, mashallah, let's open the Quran, inshallah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, inna a'tadna lil-zalimeena naran ahata bihim. Oh, every Friday we read the ayah, inna a'tadna lil-zalimeena naran ahata bihim suradiqa, and the ayah is about the adab and punishment. No, just put that in your mind. If you don't go, straighten yourself in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He looks at you this way, find you in this disbelieving place, disbelieving continent, you're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and putting Islam, any rule of Islam is above. You like something to do it, but you give it up for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have problems with somebody, just give it up for the pleasure of Allah. The punishment is so severe, we cannot stand it. We can't. And you train yourself. Your life is this struggle. Training yourself and exercising your soul. Okay, today I'm gonna do something good. I'm gonna do in the cause of Allah. I'm gonna give some poor man something. I'm gonna do 2 rak'ah for Allah. When nobody's praying, 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. Today I'm gonna recite 1 juz of the Quran. Today I'm going to clean my heart from any envy against my brothers. Those are your brothers. Those are the supporting you. Just try and put in front of you the hellfire and think about it. And don't think that you're away from that.
Because we're talking about hypocrisy. Umar radiallahu anhu arda, he's accusing himself of hypocrisy. Now Umar, ya akhwan, when Umar, they talk about him or they read his life, Umar radiallahu anhu arda, they think this couldn't be a human being, you know. This Islam, you know, the fruit of Islam, no other faith, no other civilization introduced to humanity what Islam introduced to humanity. Abu Bakr, the first man in Islam, or Umar, the second man in Islam, both of them competing to clean a tent or a little house of an old blind woman. Old blind woman, she's living by herself, and Khalifa al-Muslimin. You see, Khalifa al-Muslimin, Abu Bakr, there was nobody like him. There's a history at all. There's no empire as big as the Islamic empire. When he goes, he at night clean the house and cook for her. And Umar, every time Umar goes, he finds somebody cook for the lady and clean. I said, I'm going to stay on that long and see who comes. I'm the one that's supposed to do that. This is the prime minister of the Islamic empire. When the Romans used to hear about the name of Abu Bakr or Umar, they deemed themselves. If the army of Umar moving somewhere, that's it. Everybody just die in his spot. And Umar is clean. Imagine it, yani, by the rules of today, is no religion introduced that to Islam, to the humanity but Islam. You can say the strongest man, the most powerful man on earth, Abu Bakr, and his prime minister Umar are competing to clean the house of an elderly lady. And then Umar stayed on that long. He said, Abu Bakr coming. Not night late, washing and cleaning and cooking for the lady and leaving. SubhanAllah, said, I'll never be able to compete with Abu Bakr. This is the Islam introduced to. This is the beauty of Islam, brothers. And something, in SubhanAllah, you're not losing anything. You're living clean. Every ideology in Islam, you cannot. There is no ideology made by humans or traditions or anything better than Islam. No way is comparison. What are you losing by being clean, Muslim, praying five times, being faithful to your family, supporting for your children, supporting for your brothers? You live clean life. You live nice, wonderful life. Man, this is a great ideology, even if you take it from this point. But we're not taking it for that purpose. We're taking it for the hereafter, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And always, the Muslim don't give. Maybe I see some of the brothers feeling bad that we talk about hell. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Muslim is living in a stage between the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear from his hellfire and hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. InshaAllah, do not, but just keep doing what you're doing. You're the one, inshaAllah, when you get into your inshallah, one day we'll talk about heaven. When you get into your palaces, when you get into your heaven, and everybody's waiting, and you look at those, and you look at them, they're making fun of Muslims, and they're doing this and that, and you king as the king of the kings, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're a king there. You're something valuable. If you're not on earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never even provide for all mankind. You are the mercy of Allah on earth, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very important for Allah. And one day we're going to talk about heaven and see what is waiting for you. You see, those people, when they see, when before they get them to the hellfire, they show them position in heaven. You see, this is heaven. Look, oh, beautiful, wonderful. See down here, they buy $7 million house, something unbelievable. It's just the camera stays 7 days or 30 days just viewing what's in there. Amir Talal in Saudi Arabia, they just have a program about the palaces and the dining rooms and dining tables of the Amir. You're not going to be Amir, you're going to be a king. Something mistakes, meaning the tears, and he did not finish your kingdom, the pleasure and the wonderful and the wonders that you're going to find in your kingdom. This is the least Muslim, the least, the one that then just a little tiny bit to get him into heaven. Imagine that you compete. وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافس. In that, the competitive should compete. In that, not in dunya, brothers. No, in the hereafter. What's going to be with you in the hereafter? وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.